Welcome all to Raven's Nest. That was a heck of a jam. What was that? I don't even know. You tell me.
You'll never guess. It's Jogi by Punjabi MC. I wish I knew what they were saying, but it's so catchy.
Let's give them credit so we don't get copyrighted or something. I don't think they're probably independent artists that don't want to get a...
Released 2003.
Wow. So welcome in, guys. It's a new, spanking brand new episode. We've got a huge one coming for you today. It's actually October 29th that we're recording this. Everything's well. We're in a bit of a transition ourselves. So the next episode will be full of surprises, and we'll share those in that episode. But for now, let's go and get into things. Man, we've actually had this podcast is growing, and we're extremely grateful and super happy that people want to hear us blabber on about whatever we can relate to astrology. So we're just putting out all of the best energy we can and gratitude, and we're going to keep doing it as long as, you know, people like it and we get feedback. I think we're only going to keep growing, and the numbers we're seeing are good signs. So thank you to all of you. Also, I updated my website, which was overdue and needed to happen soon. So go check out my website. It's really nothing at all special. It basically just says, if you need or looking for a consultation, just email me. And the email is in that website. But I also did a disclaimer notice, because when I created the website, I came up with the label / brand Golden Dawn, a source for solar mysticism, not knowing a damn thing about the Golden Dawn, like, fraternal order for magic.
You were like living under schools. A rock.
So, well, that's just like, I've always been very like focused on astrology. Like I don't really care about anything else. Like, it's interesting to me, like the Western magic front and all of that. And there's definitely something to it, right? Like, I'm not trying to say they don't know anything, but
that's more my wheelhouse.
And in my notice, I'm telling people, like, look, I have no affiliation at all, and it was inspired by my name, David Brandon Harris. So I just used that and ran with it, and I can't change it. That domain won't let me change it. So it's just a disclaimer that I'm an independent artist, business owner, entrepreneur, and that's how I roll. But it's just a update on the business front side of things. Oh man,
I thought you were into Golden Dawn. I mean, when I saw that, that's I asked about it, and I said, "You mean like the Golden Dawn?"
I think you were the one that actually explained. It wasn't soon after. I'm pretty sure it was me that
explained it, because I don't think you know anybody else that would even have a clue to what the Golden Dawn is. But that's, I think that's cool, you know, like, but here's the thing, like, you kind of didn't know anything about it, and now you know about it, and now that you know about it, it's like, you came full circle.
Oh, yeah, and I'm still not interested at all in what they do, because I don't care for any secrets. I think this stuff is up in the air for everybody. You don't need to be, like, a special person to understand this stuff. It's all based on your individual capacity to understand it. So, yeah.
That's very Rahu-like.
Well, that tells you a lot about me. It's my style. But, so, where should we even start?
I think we
should talk about your Ayurveda podcast that you're also doing.
Well, it kind of ties into what we're talking about today. Yeah, so, you know, we created this podcast to kind of fill a place that we did not see being tapped into with Vedic astrology, which is, I mean, make a Vedic astrology podcast that's easy to understand. So we created it, and with that same thing in mind, I wanted to do that with my Ayurvedic practice, bring that to, you know, create something for people to be able to listen to and refer to so that they can understand what Ayurveda is, because a lot of it has to do with concepts that are very hard to, you know, understand or even get used to. You have to deprogram yourself from the Western concepts of health. So that's a long-winded way of saying I created a podcast for people that are learning about Ayurveda that may know nothing about it. They don't even know what it is. And I have a few episodes up, and I'm doing a new series now about herbs because I have seen the use of herbs in the West it's completely counter to what it should be. So
you're going to do your next, or one of your next episodes, you're going to talk about the misuse of turmeric, right?
Is that I already did that one.
Oh, that one's out. Okay. Yeah, well, I haven't listened to it, but I am a fan. The one you did previous to that, I really liked, but the turmeric
thing. Oh, the ashwagandha one.
Yeah, that one. But the turmeric thing's so funny because, you know, it's just like out of nowhere, it was a trend like, yeah, just take turmeric, you're going to be healthy. And that's... That's not how it works at all. Despite that it is, you know, a potent medicine when used correctly, you know, and I'm not the expert on that. You are. But I love hearing the, you know, your knowledge come out about it, because, you know, people are just like, yeah, just, oh yeah, I take a multivitamin supplement, and like
I put turmeric in my smoothie.
Have you heard of moringa? Or like, you know, it's just like people don't even know that, yeah, there is a protocol still, despite...
And there's marketing that's medical misinformation. Like, this is the real medical misinformation, is marketing through supplement companies and people getting supplements that are maybe 10% of what the actual herb, and then, like, the rest are all fillers. So, yeah. But enough about that. It does tie into our podcast today. So we have some really... awesome things to share with you, some observations, some things we noticed about these transits, and real life examples, which I think helps people understand how to use astrology.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that happened, you know, in the past, I think it's been almost a month now, was the hurricane. And that happened, I noticed it was like right on, according to Prashra's light, right when the south node K2 went into Swati, it was hurricane mode. And I found that to be extremely interesting, considering the force of Swati and what it represents as far as blowing the wind. It's the Lord Vayu. Just a super funny moment in astrology where you're like, damn, this is really happening. And, you know, like, it was like right on the clock, you know, it's like right when that shift happened, boom, there was a hurricane. But that's all I'm going to really say about that. That was an observation. I think something that came out too in the news that was funny was the Betelgeuse supernova potential. They're saying that the star Betelgeuse is on its, you know, again, you know, when you're talking about stars, you're talking about scales of like hundreds of thousands of years. So you can't really like say it's going to happen tomorrow, because from the distance of that star, it might already happened. We wouldn't know.
We're just seeing the after effects, is, you know, what I hear from a lot of scientists.
There's a lot of speculation that Betelgeuse is on its way out as a star.
Right, because it's near what they call supernova status. And we have a friend. I'm so fortunate to know somebody that can actually talk about this and kind of make it understandable about these things about the stars, because that's what we study as astrologers. We're looking at important transits in our world and important happenings up in the sky. And when you see something happening in Betelgeuse, that is in Orion's belt, right?
Yeah.
And I've been reading this book, America Before, And I'm right at the point where he's talking about ancient Egypt and Orion's Belt and how there's a lot of structures in America that were created to observe Orion's Belt because the natives of this country believed that this was the portal to the underworld and to the afterworld. So it's really interesting to see how all these cultures have been observing Orion's Belt. And if you think about what's happening right now with this star, it's in what nakshatra?
Ardra.
Which, if you know anything about Ardra, it's, you know, it's one of the Rudras. It's the Howler. It's this very aggressive energy that's very piercing. And, you know, when it's bad, it's bad. But when it's good, it's great.
Right.
So yeah. I think that was another observation that we had that, you know, this is happening right now in our lifetime. And we've had many cultures point to this as a place in the sky to meditate on. And we're now just figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure one of these like secret order type fraternities that they, you know, the true history of America, you find out about these, you know, the Masons and the Knights of the Templar, these sort of things, and how there's this sort of backbone to America and building it. And there, what I've come to, one of the things that you learn is that Orion has a lot to do with America, whether it's when it was rising from the eastern sky, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, that sort of thing. And then to top it off, now we're living in the era where they're saying one of the stars that's a part of that grouping is about to go out. So as an astrologer, I think about the star power within that and how it may affect us here on Earth. I don't know how, what kind of effect it would really have, but we can only speculate that it would be a huge shift. And I was telling you how, like, man, if a star, like the fact that Ardras might have a star, because nakshatras are star based, right? And, you know, if one of the natives of that nakshatra is alive while that star goes out, I can't imagine what they might go through. I feel like it would, you know, create transformation within them. You know, it's like going through some sort of a phase in life to experience that. But yeah, it's just super interesting.
I would say look at the mythology of that star. For people that might have planets in Ardra, whether it's their D1 or their Navamsha, because the Navamsha is just as important. And I think we've said this before in the podcast, with these, you know, more brutal stars, it doesn't mean that the person's a brute. It just means that there is a tendency towards certain things. And like I said, I think in previous podcasts, was that Ardra people are kind of a force to be reckoned with. And they can bring a lot of, you know, drama. But that's when there's an imbalance. When there's balance, you can have somebody that is wonderful at nurturing people with their qualities of healing qualities, I'd say. An Ardra person is going to be interested in herbs and greenery and things like that that will help people.
Yeah, they're out of the box. That's a great quality to Ardra. They're, you know, a type to do something completely different, and that's how innovation happens. You know, like we go throughout our lives, you know, following the leader and never questioning thing, but the Ardras are the ones that will do something out of ordinary, and they'll be perceived as slightly, you know, unorthodox, and that's what gives them the talent, you know, because they think so differently, and they're the square pegs in a round hole.
Something to look forward to, I think, or even observe would be when Mars goes into Ardra, because Mars going into this area where there's this possibility of a supernova in the sky. I mean, that might be something really interesting to see, like even for people that want to look at the stars at night and see if they can see Betelgeuse, because its shine and brilliance is changing as it's going through its own transformation.
Yeah. And that transit is going to happen next year, right? It's because Mars is about to retrograde.
Right. It's in Mrgashir right now.
That's a great walk into our next topic. Is Mongol entering retrograde tomorrow as of October
29th? Whoa.
So a huge effect that this may have. I'm not a... I don't like to feed the fear, or like I'm not a doomer type person, but Mars does represent real estate. So as a karaka of real estate, it will affect the real estate market, which will affect the economy, which will affect everything else, just how everything now is happening in the world. You know, it's not just us in America that are going through so much. Every government across the entire world is having these issues of all kinds.
Some countries are doing better than others.
Well, obviously, and America is one of those, because we're kind of just given that silver spoon in America. But, you know, the UK, South America, everything's, all the prices are going out of hand. And so the, you know, and governments are misusing, not all of them, most of them, their power. And I think we were talking about Saturn going retrograde, and it's back in Capricorn like it was in 2020, and the fact that it now has its third aspect on Jupiter in Pisces, I think that is part of the correction. To people are saying, wait a minute, we're not trying to fucking inoculate the entire world, we don't need to do that, that there's no need to incite that much chaos over something so silly as you know, your updated shot. Like, let's be real here, everyone has a choice, everyone has free will, you know. So,
and that comes from the pressure of the people.
And I think Shani's third aspect is a realistic drishti upon Jupiter that's much needed, because in 2020 there was a few things that were happening with Jupiter that I think, you know, didn't help, you know, like it's almost like Jupiter in his own sign of Sagittarius is overly fanatic and overly righteous. And if I could snapshot 2020, it was like a polarization of everyone's views. It was just like, it was madness. And so now that the future's caught up, Jupiter's a little more calm and collected in Pisces. And then Shani's aspect saying like, hold on now. You remember that shit you said 2 years ago? That's not right. And we're not going to do that. So it kind of... It's the balancing force between Saturn and Jupiter that can bring societies past their limits. So that's a little bit on that. You know, there's plenty more. I don't know if we're in the mood to get into the politics of the world.
No, I want to talk about something that I noticed with Jupiter. So let's talk about the other aspect and association of Jupiter. It's wedding season. At least where we're at, there's been so many people planning weddings, right? And it's interesting that two things have come up. Destination weddings and over-the-top weddings, right? And this can only happen because Jupiter's in its own sign, retrograde. So people are trying to make up for, you know, the past 2 years. And, you know, maybe people had to postpone their weddings, right? And now they're like... Yeah, because we didn't get to go anywhere for 2 years, we're going to have a wedding in like South Africa or Egypt. Or
we're going to go even harder.
We're going to make it like, we're going to blow it up, which is Jupiter. We're going to make the wedding a destination, and we're going to make it far away. We're going to make it this magical spiritual thing that nobody can afford.
That's Jupiter in Pisces.
Right. And also the other thing was like, I've never seen this on a wedding invitation. These are the colors that we would like our guests to wear. That is so Jupiter and Pisces. Like, we're trying to create this ambiance. So you can only wear these colors. And of course, the colors were very Jupiterian colors. They were like shades of yellow and gold and cream. I mean, you're just attending a wedding, but you become part of the celebration. So that's Jupiter right there trying to, it has the best intentions. It wants things to be beautiful and magical for everyone. But, you know, when Jupiter expands itself too far, that's what happens, right?
Yeah, so is us commenting on it as part of it as well. But
was just a perfect example.
And then you have like, our economy just doesn't help that though. You know, it's like, oh gosh, it's already going to cost us 15 grand. Oh, there's an option to make it 40 grand. Well, that's not much more. Let's just go ahead and do it. happens when the market's as expensive as it is to do anything, you know? So that saying, go big or go home. Yeah, Jupiter will expand it to make it go big so that you can't go home.
And I think Venus being in Swati as well, it, you know, makes people want to travel to express their love, right? To do something like out of the ordinary. But yeah, that was something I thought was worth talking about. And it's a great illustration of what type of, you know, celebrations that you would have related to Jupiter being in Pisces. But another thing I noticed, which relates back to what I was talking about in my Ayurveda podcast on turmeric, is I mentioned that Jupiter has to do with weddings, and turmeric is actually a part of wedding ceremonies in India. It's called a haldi ceremony, where the bride and the groom, they cover themselves in turmeric head to toe. And it's an old practice that goes back to the Rig Veda, because turmeric cleanses and purifies the skin and also protects the married couple from any outside negative forces, so that when they get married, they're completely purified. I think that's a beautiful way to incorporate herbs and celebration and also have the blessings of Jupiter. Now, the opposite of that would be diseases of Jupiter, which are things that I noticed coming up a lot. Water retention, bronchitis, lung infections, and jaundice. Those are all related to Jupiter. And this transit has brought a lot of issues for people in these areas. And it being in the area of the lungs would be excess kapha. So everything that's built up over the past 2 years has been a lot. So we might see people suffering from these things, but it doesn't mean that they're not curable. It just means this is what happens with this type of Jupiter transit.
Yeah, so hopefully on your podcast for Ayurveda, you can really dive deep into that and explain the technicalities, right?
So we use real life examples and give good advice on how to use herbs.
Yeah, we mildly go into technicalities astrologically here, right? And that's because, at least on my end, I'm not a big fan of getting overly technical with astrology, right? You know, like if we're doing a reading, we feel the need to, like, of course, like we want to figure it out. But, you know, we've said this before too, if we're looking at a chart, you know, we can't forget we're just looking at a human being. You know, we're looking at somebody that, you know, eats, breathes, and shits and eats just like everyone else, you know? So we can't overly analyze, you know, the pata of this and then how like that goes to like four different things in this different chart.
People aren't ready
for that. Let's just
that.
Ask the question to the client and then like see what they feel about it and then give them our words of wisdom. That's more my style. And I'm one of the astrologers that I think I figured it out pretty early that, you know, the chart, you know, the simplest aspects and the simplest approach will tell you just as much as like trying to like go into all these other techniques that like, you know, people use and you can use. It's just like, is it really necessary at the end of the day? You know,
probably not for a client that is coming to you that knows nothing about Vedic astrology, you know, they don't care about all that. They just want to know, can I change my job, right? Or is it a good time to travel? Or what's a good day to plan my wedding, right? I like what James Braha said. When he was talking about what he talks about the most in a reading, and he rarely talks about the moon or the sun. He'll just go into the things that are important about the planets that he sees, like the doshas, right? I think that's the most important and relevant thing to look at in somebody's chart. What time period are they in? That's going to tell you a lot about what they're dealing with. If you're in a Jupiter dasha, you're probably like wanting to study more, wanting to travel, wanting to wear gold, wanting to like go to an ashram and visit like, you know, this local Ganesh temple or something. Like maybe you find yourself like getting into turmeric and yellow spices, and you wonder why. It's because of your Jupiter dasha. It's going to bring these things out, right?
Yeah. Another great teaching moment that everything, like the planets are the keys, because like just how KRS did a video recently where he took the planets from each house, the original lordship, and then he took the original karakas for each house and took the planets and plugged them into the houses. And then you blend that all together with the actual natal planets of whoever's chart you're looking at. So the planets are like the key points for everything, because in the same way that, you know, Mars rules what? Mars rules the first original house, and it rules the eighth house, and that will never change. So like you do need to know a few different things about the signs, but
the most planets, people do know that
the planets will almost lead you to your own awareness of the chart.
I like how he taught that, and I do think, you know, people like to over complicate things, and when you keep it simple, like it makes it so much easier to understand. Like, all right, if the first house is Aries and its ruler is Mars, and the eighth house is Scorpio and its ruler is Mars. Okay, you know that? That's great. That's a great thing to understand for this time. Know about Mars. Learn about Mars. Start with one planet at a time, right? Just learn the lordships. Like you said, I think that's a great thing for people to dive into. What are the original lords of each house? And if you know the lords of each house, when a planet goes in there, is that planet going to be friendly with that lord? If Mars goes into the first house, is he going to be friends with an Aries ascendant? It's going to be a good place for a person, but they're going to have to watch their head, right? Simple.
So what else is happening? Oh my gosh. Election Day has a lunar eclipse happening on that day.
So that's a big one for the United States.
Man, no, it's across the whole world. Everything that's happening now is no longer so local, you know.
Are you a globalist?
No, but the problem is globalists. That's the thing. But as Americans, we like to think everything's only happening on Main Street. It's not. It's across the world. And if we understood the problems of different areas, like how, I don't know, Los Angeles has got the worst fentanyl addiction problems and the worst homelessness issues. And then you still have people thinking they're special because they drive Bentleys and Rolls Royces around, and they're just on bankroll, but they are not doing zero to fix the problems. This is the epitome of what's happened, right? We're so focused on Ukraine and funding that. We can't even fix the problems within our own streets. We're not even willing to fix the problems within our own home, let alone, like, how are we going to fix problems across the seas of America if we can't even take care of everything that's happening in our own country? This is why we're in a bad position right now. But it's what I said in an episode last year, was that Rahu and Aries would bring out the politicians, that would be different. That would not really, they would be the square pegs in the round holes. And that's why you have people like Thomas Massey, Carrie Lake,
Tory Maris,
Marjorie Taylor Greene, these type people that were pretty much
the outsiders
came in, and there's going to be a lot more. It's going to happen. There's a, I don't want to call it a red wave because I don't see it like that, but there is a wave happening, and it's surrounded around ethics, doing the morally right thing, and the most down to earth thing, which is what? Start local. Start where you can make a difference.
Questioning.
And then spread things. Awareness about the truth. And the truth is very simple. There's election and fraud happening. That's a truth. And it's not a, it's not denying.
You know, I talked about this in the beginning of 2020 with the election. I mean, we had an episode on YouTube, but we took it down where we went over Trump's chart, and it was getting a lot of views because we were talking about, my prediction was that Trump was going to win, but it wasn't going to show up in the polls and that he was going to lose the presidency due to a technical error. And that's what happened. And now we have this election day rolling around, and just looking at the USA's chart, Mars is going to be transiting over its natal position. The USA has Gemini and Rigashira in its original chart, and we're kind of going back to that. So we're reviewing a lot of things that happened in the beginning of why we made this country. So there is going to be this movement, like you're saying. It's what people are calling a red wave, but it's really a new movement for people to make the country what it was before, what it originally stood for, and bring itself back to the original point of inception.
Yep. And a lot of stuff has to happen to get there. So
your participation is required.
So yeah, that's going to feel this election day. You know, we don't need to even point out the astrological things, because it's every day that we discover things that are wrong in this world, you know.
I think I get what you're saying. It's a progression of time, and what we're seeing unfold is the after effects of this past eclipse going into another eclipse. So we're in between eclipses and a full moon. So we're in this cycle of change and also manifestation. I think we're in a place where people are starting to get inspired again to want to really get involved in their communities. And that's what I see with this election day. People have been, they were not so involved before, but now they have seen, what's happened with our country, and there, maybe this is what it took for people to get motivated to run for local office or, you know, write a writ of mandamus to support this or that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's all happening for a reason, and sure, Pluto return, that's probably why it's all happening, you know, so it's all there.
I like that, Pluto return. Yeah.
Now, but yeah, politics, it's just everywhere these days, man.
What about four planets in Libra?
The four planets, we got Mercury, Sun, Venus, and South Node, K2. That's a big conjunction, but it's a quick one. Like, by, I think it's the second week of November, it's already back to just two. But that still has to do with the eclipse. So, a lot of things are happening around the world. A lot of things that, you know, are almost like, it's probably kind of out of control, you know, like what's meant to be will be. That sort of thing comes out when you got Mercury, Sun, and Venus, you know, and then K2's in Swati. You can't control that, you know. The will of God is what will manifest.
I think the fact that Venus is there, it it brings an energy to balance out what might have otherwise been a little bit more, I'd say, disastrous.
I think a lot of it is, you know, it's Libra's the original seventh house. It's your relations. It's so eclipses here may, you know, tamper with relationships, and it might tear apart the right ones that need to be tore apart. You know, people like I saw a headline. I don't read into it this much, but I can't get away from it. It's like Paul Pelosi got like attacked or something. It's like someone might have gotten really triggered by all of the bad stuff.
Oh yeah,
that,
the guy
that their
yeah.
family that their family's doing, and someone got they got eclipsed by it, and they said, "I'm gonna mess this relationship up.
I'm gonna take one for the team, and I'm gonna go attack the guy that was arrested for a DUI and then got off because he is just, you know, married to the worst person in the world who like owns all of this, you know, stocks and blah 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 blah." Right.
So, anyways, that yeah. Relationships.
I thought you were gonna talk about like some celebrity relationship.
No, I care.
But I have to say though, on that front, there are a lot of celebrity relationships that are seemingly crumbling, and I do relate this to Libra and Venus and K2 and Mercury. I have a good example. I saw that, like, you know, supposedly Tom Brady's marriage is falling apart, right? And his wife and the child are bonding, right? And that's Mercury and Venus. The woman and the child are bonding, right? Through the separation in K2. And she's going to see a healer to help herself. That's wonderful. I'd say that's a great example of this transit. A lot of women might be going through something where they are going to seek healing. That's a beautiful thing. So that's the Libra energy. That's the Venusian energy. A lot of people forget about Venus has to do with healing, right? So she went to see a healer. I saw that another celebrity was seeing an Ayurvedic practitioner, which is like, bravo. You get it. You're starting to see that this is the future of medicine. Ayurveda is the future of medicine because it's a total practice for everyone involved. Not just the person seeking the counsel, the whole family then becomes impacted by it positively.
It's the remedy to, I don't know, like a world that just tried to exploit the health of every single citizen within its walls.
Right.
Ayurveda is the type of thing to remedy that.
Yeah, know? And we're and coming
I
back
think
to that.
I think our very first episode we were talking about this because... You know, one of the first things I said was one size doesn't fit all in health.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with doshas. And I don't know anything about that. I know that we're composed of elements because of astrology. And I know that someone like me, I'm extremely earthy. And I need to make sure I move. You know, if I become so fixed like a big boulder and never move... It won't be good for my health.
You'll be super grumpy.
That's what feels good naturally, you know. But what's natural is you have to sometimes go against the grain of what you feel you should do, you know.
Yeah, that's why, you know, people like Ramakrishna, the spiritual teacher, one of his teachings was very philosophical, and it was, you need to inquire with yourself. Have a dialogue with yourself of what you think and expand on that. That's his idea of meditation, which I think is brilliant. It's simple. Like, it doesn't have to be this big drawn out thing. Like, it can be if you want and if that makes you feel good. But in the end, what really we're trying to do with health is to balance ourselves out so that we feel good enough to start the day, to get out of bed, to make breakfast, to go to work, to walk the dog, to go to the gym, right? It's about feeling good. And that's going to be different for everyone.
And someone who likes to think about how to incorporate that for the entire world, though, that's where we're going to face issues. You know, because we can't have all our food sourced from the meat factory, you know, and it be completely inhumane, right?
Oh, you mean like factory farming?
Well, I'm saying, and this isn't a, it has nothing to do with population. It just has to do with, you know, however agricultural engineering works and understanding what's going to be the most effective way to be able to, you know, give people what they need, which is like, I don't know, free range, non-GMO, organic, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, back to basics. How about you just let cows
not
live?
Not vaccine injected garbage, and then it ends up not even having anywhere near the amount of nutrition that you need, you know. So that's the real issue. The Ayurveda is like, that's the implementation of what, you know, our health and lifestyle. So it's like, that's the easy part. It's how the world's going to figure out how to take care of everybody under that umbrella.
A good saying to memorize that's really simple about Ayurveda is Sama Dosha, Sama Dhatu, Sama Agni. When the doshas are in balance, the tissues are in balance. And when the tissues are in balance, the digestion's in balance. Wow. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Just the whole goal is just to try to achieve balance. I mean, we might never be balanced completely, but just having that aim to balance yourself or to eat good for the day, you know, that's it. Every day is a new day. If you eat fried chicken all day Tuesday, that's okay. Wednesday, you just try to do better, right?
Yeah. So, I think that covers everything that I had on my list.
Yeah, I think our next episode's going to be really fun. We've been talking about doing this for a while, but we're going to bring you something different.
It's a surprise, so stop.
Okay.
So, all right, guys, we thank you for being here. We will get back to you very soon. And we hope you enjoy this Raven's Nest Vedic Astrology Podcast.